All right. Let's see. Do I need to turn this on? All right. Thank you, everyone, for being here. This is a special meeting of the Health, Human Services, and Housing Committee. It's a very simple agenda. We're hearing from the county executive's team on the Housing Action Fund, which is a proposal that will be considered by this committee in the June resolution cycle. And I'm very excited to have the county executive's team here. So I call the meeting to order. We have no official business, so we can get right going. And I will hand it over to County Executive Metzger.
Thank you. Hello everyone. First, I really want to thank Chair Uchitel for his leadership and for the leadership of this entire committee to address the very serious housing crisis that we face. I'm going to be tag teaming with Kai, but I'll start with first part of the presentation and then move on, turn it over to Kai. So in my State of the County address, I focused on housing quite a bit. We all know that this is a huge crisis that we face. And in that address, I had proposed creating a housing action fund. And today we're going to walk through what that fund would entail, the administrative framework, the use of the funds, revenue sources, and next steps. So why is a housing fund needed? So I grew up in a family that faced major housing instability because my family couldn't afford a place to live. So, you know, we moved from family member's house to family member's house, from rental situation to rental situation, from house sitting arrangement to house sitting arrangement. And that was an entirely destabilizing experience in my growing up years. And it is the experience of a lot of our residents. Nearly one in three renters and 12% of homeowners spend more than half of their income on housing, which means they are cutting costs when it comes to other necessities like food and medicine. The trends are very bleak. Average rent has increased by about 40% in the last decade, while wages have remained stagnant or have declined. And buying a home is really out of reach for most of our residents. Housing sale prices have increased by more than $100,000 in the last 4 years, or about 43%. And what is being built is not meeting the diverse needs of our residents and price ranges that people can afford. It's primarily large single family homes that cost close to $500,000 on average, which is out of reach for most people. Beyond the human toll that the housing crisis takes, which itself I believe is a real moral imperative for us to act, these housing trends are just entirely unsustainable from an economic perspective. Businesses can't find workers right now and struggle to keep their doors open. We've lost businesses in my own town because of this. They cannot afford to pay people what it costs to keep for people to keep a roof over their head. So we need to make a commitment to a sustained public investment in housing for the sake of our people, our economy, and really our county's future. Housing funds are well-established tools for expanding housing options that people can afford and for incentivizing the right kind of housing. There are many examples in our region, across the state, and in other states of housing trusts, housing funds, housing reserves. As a county, we're paying the cost of a lack of housing in many ways. The state and county together are spending huge sums of money to put people up temporarily in motels, which is one of the only options we have for emergency housing. And there are all sorts of other costs, near-term and long-term, that impact that the impact of housing instability and homelessness have on our county, our economy, and our community. As a county, we already recognize the need for a fund. It is one of the key recommendations of the county's 2021 Housing Action Plan. I know that Legislator Petit and other members of the Housing Advisory Committee had put a lot of time and effort into developing that report, and want to acknowledge and thank them for that work. The creation of a housing fund is also aligned with the legislature's recent action establishing housing as a county purpose. This is a great capital investment for the coming years, but I'm going to switch it over, but the proposed mission for the Housing Action Fund would be to support equitable and sustainable housing development through the construction, development, revitalization, and preservation of affordable workforce and supportive housing. The Housing Action Fund would prioritize support for housing projects that serve the county's most vulnerable populations, including unhoused individuals and families, populations with special needs, and households making up to 80% of the Ulster County Area Median Income, or AMI. The performance and achievements of the Housing Action Fund would be measured by the number and type of affordable and workforce housing projects successfully developed through support by the HAF. At this point, I want to turn it over to Kai Farmer, our senior planner in the housing and in the planning department, who has been doing an incredible amount of research and work on this project. So, Kai.
Thank you, County Executive. Thank you, legislatures. As you mentioned, my name is Kyle Farmer. I'm a senior planner with the Ulster County Planning Department, focusing almost entirely on housing. So I'm going to walk through some of the more mechanics of the proposed Housing Action Fund. In parallel with the Housing Action Fund, a Housing Policy and Oversight Committee would be established to provide administrative oversight for the fund. We're proposing that this committee membership would consist of 7 individuals with expertise in housing finance, development, and land use, appointed for staggered 3-year terms. We're proposing that 4 of those appointments come from the county executive's office, 3 appointments come from the county legislature, neither county executive staff or county legislators themselves would be on the committee, but there would be 2 non-voting liaisons, one from the county legislature and one from the county executive's office, to ensure there's transparency and collaboration between all 3 bodies. The main responsibilities would be to, one, conduct the process with the planning department staff to receive project proposals through a NOFA, or a Notice of Funding Availability, which I'll go into more in a second. And then once those proposals are received on an annual basis, make recommendations to the county executive and to the legislature for final approval for funding of those projects. And then more generally, consult with the county legislature and the county executive's office on housing policy and report on the fund progress annually. So I'll try to make this quick. This is essentially the steps that would happen on an annual basis as part of the fund. These are all modeled off of other housing trust funds that we've been talking to in New York State. So first, during the budgeting process, the county executive would make recommendations on the amount of funds that would be available out of the total fund for the proposals each year. We're recommending a limit of 20% of the total fund gets released in any 1 year, so there is sustainability of the fund over the long term. The committee, as well with support from planning staff, would design the notice of a funding availability each year, what types of projects should be included based on the needs of the county. That NOFA would go out. There'd be a 3 to 4 month competitive proposal process where architecture firms, developers, potentially individuals or nonprofits could submit their proposals. Once proposals are received and the deadline is closed, the committee members will independently review and score the proposals and then meet together, determine their final recommendations. At that point, the committee will make their final list of recommendations for awarded projects to the county executive, and then the county executive will present that list to the legislature for final approval. Once the legislature has approved the projects, the funds can get released to the projects. Important here, the funding for each of the projects will not get released until construction permits are issued, so we have some guarantee that the projects will actually happen. There'll be a spending timeline for the project, so there's a certain amount of time they have to spend the money. And then there's also clawback provisions in the project funding contract, so if something were to go wrong, if we don't like how the project is going and they don't meet our criteria, we can claw back the money and use it for another project. And then over the long term, there needs to be an annual reporting requirements for projects to ensure that the affordability requirements and other requirements are met. So what types of projects would be funded through the Housing Action Fund? The individual project types would be determined each year through the NOFA process, and the committee would make those determinations, but this is the full list of projects that could potentially be funded. So direct housing development costs, emergency and supportive housing projects, affordable rental projects, affordable projects that would be for ownership of low to moderate income residents, non-traditional housing projects, so co-housing projects, tiny home communities, things that provide access to housing for folks on the lower income spectrum. And then accessory dwelling units, we have a plus one home program that is being launched this summer that provides small grants for accessory dwelling units, so we could potentially extend that program through the Housing Action Fund. We would also fund housing-related infrastructure. So this is infrastructure specifically needed for the development of affordable housing that we know will be built. We can't just provide infrastructure money for a project that could potentially be built in the future, or we're not sure. But if there is funding needed for things like roads, sewer, water, sidewalks, you know, geothermal, on-site solar, battery backup, we could provide funding for them as well. And then the last category is housing catalyst activities. So these would be small grants for practical and collaborative projects which lead to larger changes in the housing and construction sector. For example, workforce development or proof of concepts. A good example here would be Youth Build, Ulster Youth Build. They are actively working to build the next generation of contractors and the workforce that's needed to build that housing, so we want to support them as well. Alongside of this, because this is county funding, we have some ability to guide how the projects are being developed. So first, some municipalities in Ulster County have inclusionary zoning requirements. So for example, the city of Kingston has a 10% inclusionary zoning, so that 10% of projects over a certain size have to be affordable. These funds could only go to projects that go above and beyond that 10%. So we're not just helping them meet their actual requirements, but we're helping them go further. The next would be that all projects that are funded would need to be all electric. And this is based on the New York State Housing and Community Renewal Sustainability Guidelines. Any state funding through HCR that an affordable housing project gets right now has to be all electric. So we're basically doing what the state is already doing, so we're aligned there. we would prioritize projects that are located in municipalities that have joined our recently launched Housing Smart Communities initiative. It's important to fund the actual projects, but we also need to update the housing policies at the local level to support more affordable housing, and that's what that Housing Smart Communities initiative does. And then finally, what is not eligible is projects that the county has already approved for funding, so kind of individual housing projects that the county has approved funding for, and then no soft costs. So this was a recommendation from Tompkins County, where Ithaca is located, that they began to fund pre-development costs, but then never saw the projects actually materialize, and so they were wasting precious money on projects that didn't actually house anyone. Wrapping up here, so the proposed affordability period for most projects is a minimum of 50 years. When I say most, I mean things like accessory dwelling units. Our affordability period for the program we have right now is only 10 years, so that would be an exception. We also want to encourage or prioritize projects that are being placed in community land trusts. And essentially what a community land trust does is it takes any sort of housing subsidy and it ensures that the housing is affordable in perpetuity or a minimum of 99 years. So we want to make that subsidy, that county subsidy, last as long as possible. And then once the fund is set up, there would have to be some sort of affordability guidelines and monitoring set up so that we know that the projects are being offered at an affordable price for the affordability period. I think that is it. Yeah, I'm going to pass it back over to the county executive to wrap up.
Thank you, Kai. So we're proposing $15 million in initial funding from the Ulster, from our excess fund balance. That's a good sort of initial seeding of the fund. But I've also proposed that if we do in fact increase the occupancy tax to 4%, which I hope happens, consistent with every other community or county around us, that we devote 25% of the revenue from that increased occupancy tax to the Housing Action Fund. And, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. These are, you know, taxes on things like Airbnbs, which have taken housing off of the long-term rental market, and this would be reinvested in expanding the supply at prices that people can afford. There are also, you know, additional funding opportunities, whether through grants, municipalities. This is how it's worked in other places, like Tompkins County. Ithaca has contributed to their fund, and then, you know, those funds go back to Ithaca. They don't go to another community. But it's great for municipalities that are looking to build out projects and are getting really all of that county support, as including all of the technical support and getting the projects off the ground. There's also, you know, potentially IDA funding, you know, business. There are other avenues as well. So next steps to establishing the fund. So we've will be submitting a resolution for your consideration to create an assigned balance to be known as the Housing Action Fund. We have also, you all should have a copy of the guidance document for the fund that would be attached to the resolution. The Housing Policy and Oversight Committee would further refine and finalize the policies for the fund. If the legislature decides to take action to create this fund, the next step, of course, would be to create for us to appoint the members of the committee for the legislature and county executive's office to make those appointments. And then, you know, it hopefully issue the first notice of funding availability in the fall. So that's about it. I think it's a huge opportunity. I know that this issue is really important to all of our members of the legislature. I want to again just really thank you for your commitment on, to address the housing crisis generally. And we're happy to answer any questions. I'm probably going to turn a lot to Kai because he's done just so much research on this and is really a font of information. So thank you very much. And Legislator Petit. And Kai, maybe you want to come on up.
Yeah, and I'm just going to up here so that I can see everyone and call on people.
I just have a question on the first mandatory. It says funding for units must be above and beyond mandatory municipal affordable. Is that the HUD? Is that the 30, 50, 80 breakdown? Or could you clarify that a little bit more for me?
Yeah, so there are a couple of municipalities in Ulster County, City of Kingston, Town of Lloyd, and I think there's one or two others that if there's a project, usually multifamily project of a certain size, maybe 20 or more units, 10% of those units have to be affordable. So it's not all the municipalities. So that's what that is referring to. We don't want to fund projects that already have a certain requirement to put in affordable units.
Right, but it's not referring to the state subsidies.
Any other questions? Legislator Earnhardt.
Okay, I have quite a few questions.
Oh, we want to try and use the mics just so that there's a good recording of this. Sorry. There's another one over there.
And thank you for this presentation and for your work on this. I haven't had a chance to fully review the program guidance. I just got it today, but first of all, can you say what the difference would be between this action fund and a trust like we saw some other counties have?
So it's essentially the same thing. There is some discrepancy in using the word trust, but the fund in Ithaca and the fund in Dutchess County, they don't use the term trust. Dutchess County does, but there really is no difference. It's essentially how you structure it. There's a lot more requirements if you set up something called a trust versus just a fund. And Director Doyle may have a...
Just quickly,
why am I just using...
I think one of the things that you should be aware of is, and I think Legislator Chittell explained this in his resolution, and we've seen this from talking to legislative staff, by moving this into an assigned fund balance, it survives year to year. So we don't have a situation where the assignment of the funds disappear. And it provides a stability that the legislature can use to move forward in terms of the amount of money it wants to spend each year, but it remains in an assigned fund balance.
Stewart.
In regards to future funding, I was wondering if the county has perhaps considered doing something like the sales tax, when a house is sold.
Transfer tax.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, the transfer tax. I was wondering if the county has considered perhaps looking into that option. I know that it's been highly successful. From a fundraising standpoint, at least in the towns of New Paltz and also most recently in Stone Ridge.
That's certainly an alternative way to fund it because increasingly communities are taking advantage of the Community Preservation Act, basically using a portion of those, using that as a source of tax revenue to fund those programs.
Right.
It just seemed to make more sense to focus on the occupancy tax.
I will just point out that any of those would be under our purview to implement.
That's correct.
Yeah, so we could, just as the 25% of the occupancy tax recommendation, which I happen to share entirely as a goal, that's going to be up to us to pass legislatively. A mortgage transfer tax, a title transfer tax, these are all things that have been discussed. I think Comptroller Gallagher has also issued some background on this in the past, and if anyone would like to learn more about that, I know Legislator Erner has looked into it, at some point, if there's the will to do so, we can submit, you could submit a resolution to implement that. I agree that that's the type of thing that could maintain a permanent and ongoing funding stream for this.
Right, because I don't think we could always depend upon having, you know, such a great fund balance
exactly.
in the future. So.
Can I add one thing to you?
Sure.
So just in the research that we've done in discussions with Tompkins County, they said one of the most important things is that there is sustainability and longevity of the fund. To signal to the community of nonprofit housing developers that this source of funding and the commitment by local government for affordable housing is there over the long term. So you don't want to spend it quickly because they want that, you know, sustainability over the long term.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And to point out, this is a long-term problem issue. This is not going to be solved overnight. It's going to take years to get us to where we need to be.
Thank you.
And I should have made this note, I see a hand up in the audience, I should have made this note at the beginning. We're going to restrict the questions and comments to legislators and maintain, as a typical committee meeting, maintain the traditional channels for public comment for members of the public. So I appreciate your patience with that. Any other questions or comments from members of the legislature that are here? Yeah. Legislator Stewart, and then Erner, and then Hewitt.
Two things. I just wanted to commend the folks who put this together by the great, well, to commend you just in general for putting this together, but also specifically for putting in all these requirements to meet green energy and renewable energy goals. I think that is a really good thing, so many thanks for that. And coming from our current county executive, I wouldn't have expected less.
Yeah.
So.
I certainly have an eye on that. Thank you.
Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So, I have multiple additional questions, so I'll start with the next one. This board, the APCHPOC board, I didn't see any residents experiencing housing insecurity listed. How will they be represented on this board?
That was a suggestion, actually, that someone, that an appointment of someone who is either currently experiencing or has experienced housing instability or homelessness be appointed. To, there's like, in the background document, there's a suggested list of criteria for members of that committee.
Would you be contemplating just one member out of the seven?
There are recommendations, so, you know, the legislature can, you know, appoint members with backgrounds that it feels are important, or in the executive. It's really, those are just, it was kind of a sampling of the types of expertise that would be valuable. But you want some diverse expertise. You want some people that understand, someone that understands finance, housing finance, somebody that, you know, understands green building, you know, and you definitely want some diverse expertise, but it's also, I think, very important to include people that have direct life experience with the issues.
Is the recommendation that the confirmation process be similar to other boards where recommendation is made and all recommendations would go through the legislature via resolution? Like kind of like how we do the community services board and things like that?
We didn't stipulate that. We just said, you know, the legislature gets some appointments, executive gets some appointments. I don't, and I'll have to defer to those with more experience with our boards and commissions, but my understanding was that there wasn't necessarily a confirmation process after that.
There are a few processes that we've follow for different boards. One, I think, where you can make the appointment, and one where the appointments have to go through confirmation. So that might be something that would stipulate via resolution when this gets started.
Thank you.
Yeah, legislator. Actually, no. I had Legislator Hewitt next.
Thanks.
Would you mind just passing your microphone back down?
Sure. On the last slide, I believe it said NOFA. The last time I saw that was Northeast Organic Pharmacists.
I know it well, but not that NOFA.
Can you tell me what that is, please?
Notice of Funding Availability. The other one is quite straight to them.
Legislator Stewart, I think you were next, and then I think Legislator Erder has a few more questions.
Sure. My question was relating to selection of the members of this board. Would that approval come from the legislature as a whole, or members of this committee, or how do we see that?
If it goes through the legislature, it'll pass through this committee, and then it will go to the floor, just like any of the appointments that we have now for all of those
Like UCRA, for example.
Yes, that's an example. Like, that originates in the environmental committee and then goes to the full body. So it would originate, appointments would originate in this committee and then go to the body, if that's the approach that we take. And I think it would be important for those of us that feel strongly one way or the other to advocate for that, as this moves through.
Excellent. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Legislator Erder?
Thank you. Somewhere either in the slides or in the backup, it was suggested but not made explicit that anti-displacement measures could be a part of this, and certainly for my district, my number one concern right now is folks getting evicted or otherwise losing their homes. And does this contemplate filling in the gap that tenants might have in their rent or homeowners might have in their mortgage or taxes?
The focus was really on expanding supply of emergency, transitional, and permanent housing solutions. I do think that the committee itself can refine, can refine the policies, and there's room for that committee to make decisions about it.
Yeah, I think if I can just jump, like, dovetail on that, I think it's really intended for capital investments as opposed to things that would be operational in nature, like paying rent. But nothing would, like, this, you know, if it, it as it proceeds, and I hope it does in the full way that it's, you know, with its full weight as being presented here, that doesn't at all restrict us from additional appropriations, much like we appropriated money for the legal services contract. These are things that we can continue to do outside of this fund, and you know, going forward with this shouldn't stop us from focusing on anti-displacement. Yeah, Legislator Stewart.
So this is really more of a comment, but it goes to show, you know, how dire the current situation is. During the day, I'm a realtor, and I looked on the MLS listings today for the two towns that I represent, Marbletown and Hurley. Currently on the Ulster County MLS, in the town of Marbletown, there are 21 homes for sale. Now that in itself shows how the inventory is really quite low, and historically low. Of those 21 houses, there are four that are priced under $500,000, and there are eight that are priced above $1 million. The situation is similar, though not quite as extreme, in the town of Hurley. In Hurley, there are currently only 13 houses on the market. Of those, there are a total of six that are under $500,000. One of those being a teardown. And there is one over $1 million. So, I mean, I think it's very important that the county and the local government addresses this issue, because the private sector clearly is not currently.
I would add to that our traditional zoning practices have you know, really exacerbated the situation that we're in, and just don't support often the diversity and the types of housing you need and in the right places. And one of the benefits of kind of incentivizing joining the Housing Smart Communities Initiative is that, you know, it's really encouraging our communities to take a holistic approach to this issue. And having a fund, being able to direct capital funding to particular types of projects, you know, it gives us the ability to incentivize the right kinds of projects in the right places, you know, accessible by public transportation, that, you know, can tap into existing water and sewer, you know, that are, you know, consistent with smart growth principles, and that, of course, are affordable.
Let's go with Legislator Petito.
As you roll out this program, and I don't know, maybe Director Doyle would be able to answer this. You know, I'm just thinking of all of the steps. I live in a community where they no longer have two-family residences. They changed that years ago. So if I wanted to create an extra unit in my house, not an accessory dwelling, which we did put into zoning. So would it be rolled out in a phase that we'd be able to guide people through this process, so they would first join, you know, the sustainability program, and then perhaps have some guidance with recreating the zoning, and then we could get people into the actual Housing Action Fund program?
So thank you, Legislator, for that question. I think it's important to note that we're talking about one tool in a very diverse toolbox. And one of the things that we are working on, and Kai is working on with respect to the other pieces of that toolbox, is the Housing Smart Communities Program. And that program is going to do exactly what you're talking about, to work with these communities in terms of making more a smarter way to do accessory dwelling units, to take a look at how you can legislate affordability through inclusionary zoning, to begin to take a look and provide streamlined processes for that. And then there's other things that we can also do in terms of investment in infrastructure. The county started that work with respect to that investment in infrastructure with some of the work on its ARPA funds. We can be a little bit more targeted with respect to how the county invests in infrastructure, so that we're investing in infrastructure in communities that do the things with respect to housing that we'd like them to do, so that we can increase the supply. The other thing I would say is we've also looked at community development block grant funds, their ability to essentially provide housing rehabilitation work. And the most recent one that came out with respect to a budget amendment at the end of the year was the Affordable Rental Upgrade Program, which we're now beginning to implement with the passage recently. Those are the types of things, I think, that all come together. And it's why when the county executive said what we're thinking about when we looked at a housing action fund is the capital investments. We've talked to the legislature that was involved with respect to this and trying to provide new housing opportunities, whether they be through new accessory dwelling units, whether it be for new construction, whether it be for how we deal with multifamily units. We tried to make this so that it was focused more on housing production, rather than on essentially rental assistance work. And I would respectfully say that one of the best ways to deal with this displacement is to produce more housing. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to do. And we look at density, we look at infrastructure investments, have to provide the means to do that. I know the executive made some comments with respect to the work that Kai has done. I also want to add on to that. I mean, we really are fortunate to have a senior planner with this kind of talent and this kind of passion to come to us and work in this field. It's been really a challenge for him to come in and do the kind of work that he's doing. He's really been an asset to the department, and I think to the county. So let's give Kai a hand if we can.
Yeah, I also want to mention that I've talked about the Housing Smart Communities Initiative with the Lieutenant Governor and people at the state level. You know, I'm sure you all saw that the governor had come out with all of these housing proposals that were more of a stick than a carrot approach and were not included in the final budget. But there's a lot, there was a lot of interest actually in what we're doing here, and it is really innovative to work with and support our municipalities. And you know, this is something that our towns and villages, they're resource strapped, and it's a role that the county can play. It's a role that the state can play better in providing the funding and technical resources to encourage the kind of zoning we need in the 21st century.
Legislator.
Thank you. I appreciate the planner's respect. However, also one thing that could keep people from displacement would be rent controls, mortgage rate controls, property tax controls. We have the working class from higher in earning communities coming and competing with the working class that's here that is earning less than those communities. And when that's happening, the government needs to step in and regulate, in my opinion. Now, publicly owned property, I didn't see mentioned. Is there any contemplation here for the county directly investing in its own facilities to get people in housing right now that might not have any? That's part B to my part A before. The most desperate thing is the folks who've already lost their housing are in emergency county housing mm-hmm. and need to get out of it and into permanent housing.
Yeah. So there's, I realize you only got to look at it today, but there's kind of a, you know, a hierarchy of investments that are being proposed, but emergency and supported transitional housing are at the top of the list. You know, affordability followed by permanent affordable housing solutions, starting for the lowest income levels. And I know at your regular committee meeting, thank you for this special committee meeting, but at your regular committee meeting, you all will be getting an update on Elizabeth Manor, on that emergency family housing project.
For anyone in the public who's curious about that, the beginning of our regular June meeting, which is actually going to be held on the last day of May because of the calendar this year, we're going to have the first section of the meeting devoted specifically to Elizabeth Manor, and I'm very grateful for the county executive for giving us an update on that, because for Phil and I, it's right on the border in our districts, and that's a very important project. Thank you. Yep, Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So would this contemplate supplanting the existing Housing Development Corporation?
So
I'm going to let him speak to that.
So the short answer is no. The Housing Development Corporation still has a place in terms of working through certain things that we still can't do as a county. Even though we have that law, we may want to use the Housing Development Corporation for certain other issues, particularly with respect to development projects where it may be appropriate to have a development corporation involved. You may also want to use that as since it's a 501c3 corporation, you may also want to use it for philanthropy donations, so that we could gather those funds available and then use them in conjunction with this type of fund. So the short answer is I don't see that as it going away, but I do see it as less as a critical need now that you've passed that necessary local law.
Legislator Stewart. This is more of a comment than a question, but I just wanted to say that, you know, obviously I think one of the key guidelines to, you know, the county actually building projects would be on land that the county actually already owns. And for that reason, I've spoken to this about this matter with both the County Executive Metzger and also Director Doyle. But I think that an ideal location for such buildings, projects would be the SUNY Ulster campus. There's water there. There is a transportation hub there. The county owns the land. People who would be possibly living in these facilities would have access to the educational and cultural facilities that would be found in the college itself. It's located directly in the center of the county, and so I look forward to continuing this conversation with you all on that matter. So, thanks.
Thank you. And, you know, the legislature, you know, took important steps to establish a land bank, and that is, you know, something that is complementary to a Housing Action Fund, not a replacement for. And, you know, we're still in, you know, looking to work with the City of Kingston to see if we can establish a joint land bank, which is just makes more sense than having two land banks in the same county, but also it makes it much more likely that it would be approved at the state level.
Yeah, pleasure to hear.
Thank you. The electrical requirements, all electric buildings based on New York State guidance or regulations, does that rule out wood heat and vegetable diesel?
Does it rule it out? So at the state level, I haven't looked at this agency's guidance, but the state's direction for it's really about zero emissions buildings. It's about no on-site fossil fuel combustion. And, you know, the technologies that have been the focus are ground source or geothermal and air source heat pumps. But the focus is really on moving away from on-site combustion of fossil fuels and not, you know, choosing one particular technology.
Any final questions for the county executive's team? Yeah, Legislator.
Thank you. I was part of a meeting with the planning department at Cornell around the a new farm plan, essentially, for Ulster County. And we had folks from the state ag and markets there talking about, highly urging us to create some farming trusts. And so I've been in a little conversation with that individual around what about a confined farming housing trust, so that folks can have, who've, especially folks who've, whether personally or in over the generations, been denied access to adequate access to either, could combine both a means of sustenance and a place to live.
So I love that personally, and I think that And again, when you read the guidance document, you'll see the fund is really meant to encourage also creative housing solutions. And I think that that's a really important one. And scoring criteria too, encouraging more kind of holistic and innovative approaches to housing that combine, for instance, housing with growing your own food, I think are... that's like another benefit of funding that could incentivize and direct housing in a particular direction.
Thank you. All right. Well, if there's no final questions, then I just wanted to say one thing as we close. You know, I've been a legislator for a little more than 3 years now, and that whole time, I've been trying to find ways that we can fund housing. And this feels like the most real, tangible, well thought out, and really having the basis covered proposal that I've seen in my time here. It has been a challenge to find ways to fund housing. And I just want to commend the County Executive's team for putting this together.
particularly Director Doyle and Planner Farmer. We are very much indebted to you as a county for the work that you've done here. And as a legislature, the job is now ours to shape this further and to get this across the finish line. So I take this moment as the opportunity to have you pass us the ball and to get this moving forward. And I definitely consider this to be the start of the conversation. And I'm very grateful for everyone who came here for this special meeting this evening. So I just want to say thank you. And if you have any last words that you want to share, welcome them.
We just want to thank you again for considering this proposal, and I do also want to give a big shout out to the team who really fleshed it out. So I look forward to working with you. We all look forward to working with you and really coming up and working on real solutions to this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'll take a motion to adjourn from the committee.
So,
thank you all. Thank you very much.